24, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, that was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Excuse me, hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are ready for an exciting day here on the Miller's Edge. Now, we don't have anything lined up right now. So I know we had Clint Tuesday, we had Tony yesterday. We don't have anything lined up right now, but we will get back into the whole Alabama LSU talk, breaking it down. I feel like we hadn't really got to dive deep in it. We did with Clint, but in terms of just kind of how we normally do on here, hadn't had a chance to really dive too deep in it yet. So we will plan on taking a little bit further look at the matchup itself, some things that we're looking out for, some matchups, some keys. We'll talk about all that stuff like we usually do. Then you guys know tomorrow is Prediction Friday, so we'll save our predictions for then. You guys can too. Remember, we always do offer predictions. You know, they come with a, if you get it right, they come with a prize. So if you do get it right, we haven't had anybody get it right. If you assign football, we'll definitely try to hook you up with some other cool stuff. Chase almost said some swag. I feel like that word is probably about out the window by now, man. I probably would have sounded like I was 45 if I said that. But you guys know how we use that term in terms of like gear, right? They always say like, oh, if you go to a camp or something, oh, we got some swag for you. I don't even know if we can use it in that sense. We obviously stopped using it in the fashion sense, but I don't even know if we can get away with it there anymore either, bro. They're going to start calling me Unk if I do that. That being said, some other things going on. Nothing too big that I have other than I know we have to go back and listen to the teleconference from yesterday. Coach DeBoer spoke. And actually, I might try to play LSU's coach's teleconference as well, just kind of get his thoughts. I know a lot of people are really curious about this game really because of that, right? I mean, you look at it. You got a new coach, right? A lot of people feel strongly that this LSU team is going to have this newfound life, given that they've got a new regime, kind of, not really, but you get what I'm saying. And a lot of people feel like that could give them a little bit of a boost, enough of a boost to beat number four ranked, officially number four ranked with new playoff rankings. Alabama, I don't think so, personally. We'll have to see. But nonetheless, really good football team, a lot of good players. Haven't been able to put everything together, haven't been able to execute the way they probably would like to, but nonetheless, a very solid football team and looking forward to another good matchup. Night game in Tuscaloosa. Coach DeBoer has already made his call to the fans. He's wanted another one. Tennessee was obviously a great atmosphere, and they want to recreate that, do it again, and then continue that over the next 3 weeks because we do have three straight home games in Tuscaloosa before traveling on the road to Jordan-Hare Stadium. So that being said, let's do this, Chase. We'll stay on task, right? We'll go ahead and hit our first timeout. We'll come back. We'll dive into things. We'll hear from Coach DeBoer. We did this teleconference yesterday. We'll probably go ahead and hear from the LSU side of things and kind of see where their head's at. One thing I did hear is that, hey, look, they plan on being aggressive, right? And that doesn't shock me one bit. If anything, that's probably one of the few things that will give them a chance in this game. We'll talk more about that when we dive deeper into the action later on in the show right here on the Miller's Edge. Before we hit our break, don't forget about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. Try before you buy, nothing lose. Check them out right now. If you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, they will take care of it right there.
is a coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations of your area. We are testing equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies.
And SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 75. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Developing showers and thunderstorms during the day, the high 73. Saturday, a small chance of a shower, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Playing some catch up today. We got to go back from yesterday and listen to the teleconference, right? We were talking with Tony. If you guys missed that interview with Crazy Tony Brown, you can always go find it on our YouTube channel at The Miller's Edge or wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform you use, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. You guys can always go find it there and listen to that. Definitely some entertaining stuff. And I think we got Tony booked in for every Wednesday now at the top of the hour, which is very, very exciting. So that's going to be fun moving forward if we stick with that. That being said, let's go ahead and hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, who spoke via the phone lines right for the SEC teleconference. And this is what he had to say yesterday. And hold on one second. I just had it pulled up. And now I feel like I just lost my my tab. There it goes. This is what Kalen DeBoer had to say via the SEC coaches teleconference.
To ask a question for Coach DeBoer, please use the raise hand function. And Coach Troy, wait on any questions today. If you could take a moment to comment on your squad as you prepare to host LSU on Saturday night.
Yeah, sure. Just having this bye week was good for us, and just in a lot of ways. And, you know, got to get ready for a very talented LSU team. And it's good to be playing back at Bryant-Denny Stadium here. I'd say we need to have our fan base as loud as ever. When they bring it, the energy is great. It's a tough place to play. So we've had a lot of success at home and need to make sure it continues to stay that way. So can do our part with our preparation and have everything locked in, and we just got to continue to execute better and better than what we have. It's been solid and improving, but we want to be our best this Saturday.
For questions for Coach, use the raise hand function, and we'll begin with Charlie Potter of Bama O-Line.
Yeah, hey, Coach. What kind of steps have you seen from a guy like Dejon Lee? Have you seen him take as he continues to play more and more for you guys?
The thing about Dejon is from the day he got here, there was a maturity about him that just really stood out. And, you know, obviously there's a physical presence that he has with his height and his length, and just the seriousness of how he goes about everything. He was, I don't want to say years ahead, but it was different than, you know, what you'd expect with an incoming freshman. So, you know, I think he's built on that, and he's he's human. So I'm sure there was a time early on where, you know, it was probably fast, but I think he's out there and doesn't look like a freshman in any way. And we have all the confidence in the world in him to go out there and cover and tackle. He's going to give everything he's got from an effort standpoint. So his consistency just day in and day out, not just on Saturdays, but in practice, it just really stands out. You know, he's, again, extremely mature beyond, being a true freshman out there for us.
Next will be Hunter Silver of Bama Central.
Yeah, Coach, just wondering, what have you seen from Harold Perkins given his past experience against Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, just he's a guy that's going to be around the ball and playmaker. We certainly are aware of where he's at and know what he's capable of doing, you know, from a playmaking standpoint.
Next will be Joe Gaither of Bama Central.
Hey, Coach, just want to know your thoughts on Garrett Nussmeier, maybe how he's grown from last season, and just kind of your general scouting report on LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. Thanks.
Yeah, I think he continues to take the steps. I just seen from last year to this year, just the consistency, and I think he takes care of the ball much better this year, and has another level of command. He understands the guys that are around him, and so just really impressed with the way he has played, and you can see the skill set a year ago, and you can tell he's a competitor. He's gonna try to keep plays alive and things like that, and make the throws. Making the throws is never gonna be a problem for him. So he's again done a nice job leading their team, and he's one of the better quarterbacks in the conference.
This will be Steve Moulton at WZZN.
Hey, Coach, always appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Given the combinations that we've seen along the offensive line, be it due to injuries or whatnot, where do you think the O-line is right now heading into this LSU game, Coach?
I think we've played, a lot of different guys, and I think, understanding why that is, it has been, where there's guys that are dinged up, and then that led to competition. And I think the competitiveness, has helped each of them individually. You want here now is we have all these reps that we've had throughout the year. We get into the last couple games of the season. You want that chemistry that can exist with whoever's out there. To be on another level. So I think there's things that we do really well. I think we've, done a pretty good job keeping Ty upright. There's been a game or two where we struggled a little bit more, but, I think it's well understood that we feel we want to run the football better than we have. And that's a group effort. That's just on the offensive line. And so they're doing their part. I can tell you they're out here working as hard as ever. To continue to be better, and hoping to take that next step. I think one of these games here, you're going to see the run game continue to evolve and help us win a football game.
Well, what was your big takeaway of what you saw, what Texas A&M was able to do to LSU in the second half, Coach?
Well, they had a touchdown drive there. Obviously, the punt return really broke the game open, and they're in the second half. And then, I just think Reed does a lot with his feet. He had a big game running the football, and that's a weapon right there on top of the other skill players they have that make people miss. Those receivers that A&M has, are guys you get the ball in their hands and they can go do some things. So I thought it was a balanced attack that A&M had, and they just continue to attack you, and that's kind of what happened in the game. And once they kind of got it into a two-score lead, then the pressure is really on LSU at that time. So again, it was a good, very good game. I mean, LSU had them at halftime, they're going back to LSU. I mean, they're just extremely talented. They were, preseason one of the top teams picked, and there's a reason for that. It's because of all the skill and all the guys that they have on that team that can play high level football.
Thank you, Coach.
Mm-hmm. There you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer during his SEC teleconference call yesterday. So we had to catch back up on that. Now we're going to catch back up on a break. When we come back, we'll respond to it. We'll continue talking about this Alabama LSU matchup. I want to hear from you guys. Get your thoughts. 205-342-9904 is the number. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9138.
Get the Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do. On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2395. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Fred.com. Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. We just got done listening to Kalen DeBoer during his SEC teleconference from yesterday. Spoke about this matchup against LSU. Had an interesting question Chase asked him about his thoughts on that game with Texas A&M and LSU. Obviously, if anybody watched it, you saw first half. It was a tale of two halves. First half, pretty close game. Second half, LSU got curb stomped. And while there's a lot of things LSU did not do great, I think there also was, that realization that Texas A&M is a really good football team. Not that you didn't necessarily think that before, but at least for me, I had a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? I was being a little patient with them, but seeing that, man, I mean, their quarterback, really good player, defensive front, I mean, really impressive, even though it was LSU's offensive line who struggled. Some backups in there due to injury. And those guys were getting after it. So it looked like a legit team, man. Definitely like a legit team. But that being said, Chase, anything? I keep forgetting to go to you, man. Anything stood out to you from that interview with head coach Kalen DeBoer?
Hey, you're good, Christian. It's good to hear your voice, man. But honestly, I think just his demeanor. I think Kalen DeBoer, and I harp on this every week because we saw this last week. Not saying he couldn't be happy, you know, a lot more joyful and more loose, but it's business, business, business. And I think Kalen is understanding the magnitude of what the price is to win, you know, especially with a very, very dangerous LSU team. Very dangerous. They have a new identity now. They're not under Brian Kelly or their OC or anybody that was under the lineage of Brian Kelly. This is a new LSU team. They don't know much about him. Like, yeah, they know about their defense and Garrett Nussmeier and of that sorts, but they're riding high. This is a bye week. And you've seen teams in the past where They're riding high. They have a bye week, and they just can't find their footing because of that week alone and not being able to play somebody. So I think, and what I've heard is practices went pretty well. They were very much attention to detail, especially when they were talking on Hey Coach yesterday. I think Kalen is just really wanting to get his team prepared for it because it doesn't get any easier. You have Oklahoma, and they had a very, very good game against Tennessee. They beat them fair and square. So this is the opportunity to finish strong, continue what you've been wanting, and that's to bring a national championship to Tuscaloosa. That is the goal every season. This is the standard. Has never lost his touch, and I feel like Kalen DeBoer is definitely trying to bring that back in any way he can. But I was really pleased with what I was hearing. And, yeah, I'm excited for this weekend, man. I really am.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good one. I mean, both teams coming off byes. You know, even Coach DeBoer mentioned it, right? New coach, you know, some fresh energy there. But kind of was looking more into Frank Wilson, you know, who's taken over as that interim coach. And it does make you – it sparks that question, right? I mean, everybody's talking about it because it does happen, right? It's almost like – there's that new blood, right? That new energy that all of a sudden people, whether they had frustration with the previous coach or they're hearing all the external noise. Can we see that from this LSU team come Saturday? And if we do, which I think there's a good chance we do see some of it, is it enough, right, to overcome the barrier of facing a very hot Alabama team at home in Tuscaloosa at night? I mean, that's going to be the biggest question. But I was looking up a little bit about Frank Wilson. There is an article from, I guess, NOLA.com. So, you know, in their neck of the woods over in Louisiana. But this guy seems like he brings some juice, right? I mean, and literally not just, I guess, you know, hypothetically, but he's started this tradition now with like a big drum. I'm reading something about he's setting the tone with a drum, maybe something he got from, I didn't read all the way through this, but something maybe he adopted from Pete Carroll. But and as silly as that kind of stuff sounds, and I know it sounds like, you know, like kindergarten stuff, like, oh, man, the coach beating the drum, hyping his guys up type deal. You'd be shocked, man. Sometimes that kind of just gets a little bit of a movement going. But allegedly that was one of the big things that they have changed since Brian Kelly's firing, right? He's got this new drum that he implements that kind of sets the tone for everything and sounds like, you know, he's one of those coaches. I don't know how many of you guys had, you know, were coached, but especially by different coaches, but there's always like different styles of coaches. You got like kind of the laid back coach that yells all the time, the coach that does things that kind of come off as corny, but the guys end up buying into it and it kind of brings some juice and life in there. Sounds like this guy is kind of one of those guys that's kind of trying to, you know, do some things to kind of really get the energy and stuff going. And sometimes guys really buy into that, man. I don't know Brian Kelly personally. Kind of judging his demeanor and stuff. He kind of rubs me as being, I don't know, Chase. He don't look like somebody, and I could be totally wrong, but just judging off of the reactions of players and former players, I don't know. I don't know if he would have been like, this guy seems a lot more, I guess, relatable for these players right now, which, you know, in turn could have a very positive effect, man. So I don't know. We'll have to see, but I definitely am very curious of how things look. I know we talked about this a little bit, but talk about some of the changes and the nuances that you might see with, you know, a new change, you know, with somebody calling the plays, right? That's going to be interesting because if you look at it, man, I mean, offensive line, a huge issue. Obviously, this guy can't just change that, but they need some type of, whether you want to call it a spark, they need some type of help, right, offensively. They just haven't really been able to establish that this year, and I'm sure there's a number of reasons for it. Offensive line being a big one, injuries being another, failure to establish a true running game. I mean, they're dead last in the conference in that category. Quarterback all banged up. I mean, they got to figure out something. So I'm really curious what kind of wrinkles we might see with the change at that spot and how that could maybe affect their offense. Could it give them enough juice? I mean, personally, when I look at this, Chase, I really feel like as bad as they are running the ball, and I know there's some different factors here. I mean, they do a lot of screen game. They dump it out. They use extensions to run a game similar to what we do. I wouldn't be shocked if we see that in that aspect, if they try to establish that? Because I think if LSU could find a way to have more balance, that's going to give them a much better chance in this game to have success offensively, given the fact that, look, if you become one-dimensional, we all know what I mean, we all know what happens from that. We've talked about it with our team and anybody else, right? Guys can start pinning their ears back and getting after it. We've seen Kane Wamekins has been aggressive this year. He's calling more, you know, pressures and things. He's doing things to generate pressure on the quarterback. Pass rush is starting to pick up. Guys are building their confidence there. The last thing LSU wants to do is come to Tuscaloosa and be one-dimensional with the beaten up offensive line that is very short of even mediocre at times, and have their quarterback, who's already banged up, getting even more beat up in this game. So definitely just a lot of questions that I have that we won't really know too much until 6:30 Central Time this Saturday evening. But I definitely have been kind of trying to look into this stuff, which has led me to the fact that I need to go back and watch some of the tape from where these guys came from, these coaches, right, before, just to kind of get an idea on kind of how they call things or what they like to do. That would definitely be interesting as well. But let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. And if I can, I might try to pull up that his teleconference, right, from the LSU side of things, see if we can find that and stream that and hear what they had to say. Since we're going to dive in a little bit more to LSU as we keep breaking this game down. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 953thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer during his teleconference, but we're talking a little bit about LSU, doing a little bit more of a dive on these guys. Again, a little bit of a new look LSU over the last few weeks, firing Brian Kelly. You got Frank Wilson taking over. And I was trying to read up a little bit on this article about some of the changes that they've seen since he's taken over. But let's go ahead and hear directly from him, because he also spoke yesterday during the SEC coaches teleconference. So this is what interim LSU head coach Frank Wilson had to say.
Yes, sir, we'll do. Preparation has been steady. A tremendous opportunity before us against a very quality opponent in Alabama. Tall task, but I think our team will be up for it. The presentation and preparation indicates that we're eager to go play, to better ourselves from our last outing. One day at a time, growing our football team up to go to Tuscaloosa in a hostile environment and to play to the best of our ability is our charge.
All right, Coach, we'll begin with Cookie Riley of The Advocate.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Cookie.
I was wondering why you decided to bring back the drum.
Yeah, so, you know, it's something I learned years ago from Pete Carroll, and over the years have continued to carry with us since probably 2005. And it was introduced to me, and I grew very fond of it. It representing the drum being the heartbeat of the football team, and making clear understanding and distinction that when the football goes into play, the game starts. At the end of the game, the referee will hoist the ball above his shoulders, indicating the game is over. There's no life left in the game. And so for our special teams unit, they breathe life into the game. And so being a tone setter, whether it's the kickoff return team, the kickoff coverage team, is pivotal to us to be able to start fast and breathe life into the game. And so I wanted to bring that symbolism, if you will, of the heartbeat, so we could charge our special team, we could charge our team, that when the ball goes in play, life has been injected into us. And we use the drum to be symbolic of that as we play it.
And Coach, just an injury update. How is Carius Kern and Whit Weeks heading into this week's game?
Carius will have a chance. I think his progress has been a steady one. He's played more and more in each one of the practices. And so I'm optimistic that he'll have an opportunity to be able to play for us. Whit Weeks, not as much. I think he's probably more doubtful at this time, considering today. We'll see in today's practice how he looks. So we're hopeful, but I'm not quite sure with, but I think Carius Kern is trending in the right direction.
Next will be Joe Gaither of Bama Central.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for your time. I'm wondering if you can give us a kind of a scouting report, what you see in Ty Simpson's game, the strengths and weaknesses as you guys prepare for this weekend's game. Thank you.
Yeah, the director of their team, he orchestrates it. I think he can make every throw. He's accurate at every level. I think he does an outstanding job of reading defense, throws into windows with great anticipation, but also knows how to throw receivers open. You know, you lose sight of the athlete that he is because he can tuck it when need be to gain yardage for his football team. A lot of respect and admiration for his style of play and how he has led their football team.
Next will be Michael Cobble of WVRZ.
Hey, good morning, Frank.
Hey, Michael.
Just wondering, you know, through the years, your relationship with Virg Osberry, now that he has been named permanent athletic director, what has that been like, and what is your anticipation, you know, working forward, going together?
We're still waiting on the formal announcement. So looking forward to his press conference so he can officially be named, although the reports are indicating it.
Following up on that Ty Simpson question, knowing you know, what you just said. How has Jake and Corey's group, how have you seen them maybe grow throughout the course of this season and be prepared for a moment like this?
Yeah, I think we have guys back there that will compete. I think we have guys that have speed. I think we have guys that have length and understanding. They've been trained well. I think in the back end, when you look at the development from the corner position with Corey or the development with the safety position with Jake, those guys complement each other well. In the back end, they communicate effectively. We'll need that, and we'll need all of them to go to face such a quality passing threat that Alabama presents for us. But I'm confident they've practiced well, and they've seen what has been shown. Certainly, it comes down to when you get out there, whether it's things they have done already or it's a nuance or something new, to be able to adjust to it. Or when you're in that position and you're out of ideal position, how do you recover and still make a play on the ball when it's not an ideal call per se? The improvisation on the field to adjust will be critical for us. But I like us in the back end. I like our ability to contest passes and to match up with them.
Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome, Michael.
Next will be Wilson Alexander, the Advocate.
Hey, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Wilson.
To follow up on Witt, are y'all good? Like, are you going to try to get him on the practice field? Is he at a point where he can really try to do that? Or is he today still maybe, is that kind of uncertain if he would even be able to put that kind of weight on the ankle and all that?
He'll be on the practice field, you know, but the game isn't just linear. Our sport is one of start and stop and changing directions, awkward position, bodies falling on you, acceleration, deceleration, jump, come down, compound, you know, those things. And so that's the true test. If you walked out today, you just asked him to run, he could do that. And so we have to put him in the situations to gauge his pain tolerance to see if he could. And he has a high threshold for pain tolerance. But you just don't know because it's not just muscles that are in there. Sometimes it's nerves and those other things that can be annoying, if you will, or sharp pains. And so we'll just see. We'll see how, if that subsides and allow him to be at his best.
And then the players were mentioning yesterday the 9-on-7 drill. Was that what you were referring to Monday? We talked about inside run with Coach Baker wanting to see some of that. And how do you think all that went?
I thought it went well. That's exactly what we're talking about in respect to where we're at in the season. It's not tackle football to the ground, but it's sincere contact where you take your face mask and you press it upon your opponent and you thud him up and you let him run. And in the trenches, it's a combat zone all the time. And so the physicality and the toughness of your team, your DNA is at times in that portion of the game. And so we match each other, offense and defense, respectively, with ability to try to gouge for big runs and ability to try to fit, to not allow that to happen, run fit, to not allow that to happen. And so I thought it was spirited. I thought our team really got after it, and it kind of lit a fire. They were asking for more, but you have to control those settings naturally. And we did so, but to see our team salivate and want to compete and want redemption if one or the other got the better was certainly rewarding for us.
Well, there, we'll stop there. There's a few minutes left, but that was actually that was an interesting answer right there, Chase. I want to talk a little bit more about that and elaborate. But first, we got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, we'll do just that. We'll respond to that. He talked about that 9-on-7 drill. And I'll explain a little bit more about what that is, but that's an indication, Chase, that those guys are hungry to get active and get physical, man. That's pretty much what that means. We'll dive into more of that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
The Lakers and Spurs went down to the wire, but LA survived 118-116 to extend their winning streak to 5. LeBron James will be progressing to live 5-on-5 reps in practice, but will not travel with the team on their upcoming 5-game road trip. The Trailblazers handed OKC their first loss of the season as Portland survived 121-119, and the Nets got their first win of the season, topping the Pacers 112-103. Nikola Jokic with a triple-double, his fifth of the season, as the Nuggets defeated the Heat 122-112, and the Kings took down the Warriors 121-116 behind a triple-double from Russell Westbrook. The Pelicans had a 101-99 win over the Mavericks in Dallas. On the ice, Alex Ovechkin makes history again, becoming the first player to reach 900 career goals as the Capitals crushed the Blues 6-1, and the Sharks defeated the Kraken 6-1.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com. Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school. And school is in session. Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, Chase, we just heard from Coach Frank Wilson, interim head coach for LSU, and there's a few minutes left, but we can stop there because the answer he just gave, it was caught my attention, right? You know, we talked about the drum, that little tradition thing that he brought back. Kind of cool hearing his explanation on it. It's like, you know, signifying the heartbeat of the game, the team, all that stuff. And it sounded like the guys are buying into. Like I said, sometimes when coaches kind of they adopt stuff like that, it's like a hit or miss. Sometimes guys think it's corny and it's just kind of like not trash, but it's kind of like, ah, whatever. Sounds like these guys are buying into it. Listening to them speak, that was the other thing. I kind of wanted to hear them. You know what I mean? Like, I put my, you know, my helmet back on for a second and kind of hear him as a coach, see kind of his vibe. And he definitely seems like somebody you might want to play for. You know what I mean? Kind of, I don't know. He has that vibe to him. But what I wanted to talk about and elaborate on was that final question. They talked about that drill that they were doing and trying to assess things. And basically, you know, inside, what did he call it? Either inside run or team run drill. Depending on the school, whatever. I mean, people have different names, coaches, whatever. But basically, it's a 9-on-7 drill. And I know all about that because we did that here at Alabama all the time. Did it with the Panthers too. But basically what 9-on-7 is a team run drill minus the secondary guys. That's what it is. So you basically have, you know, the defensive line, the linebackers going against offensive line, tight ends, and running backs. And it's a run period that you do. And it's legit just running the football. Everybody knows it's a run. It's not like a team drill where, you know, it could be pat. No, this is just straight. It's basically, I wouldn't even say an extension of Oklahoma drill. Sometimes, you know, there's like 3-on-3 Oklahoma drill type deal. This is, I guess you could look at it as like an extension of that maybe. Anyway, that's what he was referencing. He was saying that they were doing. It told me two things. Number one, They're trying to establish their running game, which we said, I mean, wouldn't be shocked if they try to do that. They need to be more balanced. They're dead last in the conference right now. But two, that's how you establish an identity. You know, we always did that drill to not only get good at stopping the run and our offense to get better, you know, running the football. Because, I mean, it's really just lining up. You know, I'm an edge guy. I'm one-on-one with this tight end in front of me. If I get that look, or, you know, if I have a tackle, right? Like, again, there's no pass, no anything. I know what's coming. And he knows he's trying to block me. He knows it's a very physical drill, right? That said, I mean, he's talking about the guys were salivating over it, wanting to keep going. They had to, the way he was describing it, he was basically saying, you know, got real chippy. Guys were really getting after it. We had to kind of settle it down. So what he was painting was, I mean, you got a team that's hungry. And we just were talking about that before we heard him, Chase. We were saying, you know, typically when new coaches come in or interim coaches take over, sometimes they breathe new life into the team. Well, it sounds like we kind of got a little bit of an answer. Now, whether he's kind of just trying to put that out there, whatever the case may be, that was interesting to me. Because listening to that, I'm like, all right, well, you know, they're not taking the route of, oh, we're just going to just, you know, just coast the rest of the year, right? Our head coach got fired. No, it sounds like these guys – they're coming on a mission. But let me ask you this, Chase. I mean, now that I've kind of described that a little bit, you know, and elaborate on his answer, we now know, I mean, like, it is a fact these guys are indeed feeling, you know, energized, right? The new coach is taking over. They're leaning into it. Sounds like LSU's trying to, you know, show up in Tuscaloosa and look a little bit different, right? We were wondering, hey, how things might look a little bit different too schematically. Well, they're emphasizing team run drill, right? Inline drill, 9-on-7. That shows me that they plan on running the football in this game with some extra motivation. Do you think, Chase, that's going to be enough for these guys to kind of give them, I guess, that little boost that could give them a chance in this game? Again, they are right now. Alabama's like, I think it's at 11.5 right now, you know, 2-score favorite. Do you think those little details could be enough to kind of give them that edge to maybe have a chance at pulling it off in Tuscaloosa, Chase? Or you think, nah, I ain't going to cut it?
My family in Baton Rouge, close your ears. I just feel like it's not enough. It's just not Bama enough. Right now is on a heat missile. They're firing on all cylinders, and it's good to hear the progress down in Baton Rouge. It's a stepping stone. It's something to harp upon if you're an LSU fan. But where Alabama is right now, they're just too far from LSU. Like, and you'll see that in the trenches. You really will. And I don't know. I just feel like Alabama is just too good right now. Even with the injuries that they got going right now, it's just they're on a different level that I don't think people are realizing. And you'll see that this Saturday.
Yeah. See, that's my thing. I'm like, it sounds good. I'm hearing him talk about it. It sounds good, man. I mean, he had me like thinking, like, man, I want to go put that helmet on that's behind me on that rack and go do some 9-on-7. Like, I mean, I used to have fun on it because, again, I used to be outside backers and tight ends, right? And I used to, like, I used to love going to battle with the tight ends because those guys, they act tough, but they don't want to block nobody. I used to love doing it. I ain't going to lie. Sometimes them offensive tackles chase, you had to strap your helmet up a little tighter, though, because them dudes coming down hard on DD. Like, all right, I know what's coming. But, but I'm just like, in my head, I think if they can establish their running game, it'll help them out offensively. But how much are we talking? Because we're still talking about a depleted offensive line unit, one that struggled. I just don't know if I see it making a world's difference, right? And then we got to look at the other side of the ball, too. And we'll dive more into kind of really this matchup. Because you're looking at, you know, Bama's, you know, passing game with our great receivers that we have. Ty playing really good, a really red-hot quarterback that can make all these throws. Versus a passing defense, I think like they're 35th nationally. However, again, don't get caught up in the numbers. I mean, these dudes got some studs in the back end. Like, they got some dudes. That's going to be an interesting matchup, right? The reason I go to that side of the football is, depending on how we play offensively, how many points we put on the board, I mean, that's going to make a big difference on how LSU is playing and the type of game that they play. You get what I'm saying? Because if our offense is having success and we, you know, revert back to doing the things that we were doing before that South Carolina game, hell, even if they are able to kind of get a little juice going running the football, they haven't protected well at all. And I just don't see that running game magically exploding to where these guys are, I don't know, running all over the place, putting up a bunch of points. Might make the game a little closer. I just don't think that's enough to overcome a lot of the other deficits that this LSU football team has. I don't know. That said, I mean, there's a lot of ways this thing could go, but I'm with you. Personally, I just don't. I don't know. I don't really see it, but we'll have to see. And he did comment on the linebacker. Doesn't sound like he's going to play, which is a big blow. I mean, your signal caller, your head of the defense, not playing. That's never good. And sounds like he's definitely not. But interesting stuff, man. The other thing I was going to mention is, even though Frank Wilson did take over as interim head coach, and he was running back coach before, Alex Atkins, to my knowledge, is the one that's going to be calling the plays, former offensive coordinator for Florida State, but is an offensive line coach. So it does make sense. You got an offensive line coach and a running back coach basically kind of handed the keys to this offense. I fully believe they try to run the football more in this game, especially when you look at it and you're like, all right, we can't really protect great. What's going to help us establish in our running game? So hopefully Bama has continued to progress in that category, which we've been a lot better. The game against South Carolina, I thought we were pretty solid there. And before that, playing Tennessee, I know their back did have some explosives. So we got to tighten up in that area. But I just don't know if even with these changes, that just is going to magically change LSU's ground game all of a sudden. If anything, I don't know. We'll have to see. Looks like we got my dad on there. He just popped up. Well, he popped up, then he popped out, then he popped back up. Let's see if he's on here. I don't see you, but it sounds like I can hear you. Are you with us? Check. Can you hear me? All right, let's do this. I don't think he's fully on there. We can hear him. I definitely hear him breathing and driving. So we got him on here, but I don't think he's ready. So, Chase, let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit this timeout. We'll get that figured out. That way, when we come back, we can hear his thoughts. I don't think we've talked to him since before the bye week after that South Carolina game. So we'll get his thoughts on a number of things when we come back. That is the Pastor Payne, by the way. So, surprise, we do have a guest today. Another than the Pastor Payne. We'll be joined by him when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. 29-22, and for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us
next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 75. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Developing showers and thunderstorms during the day, the high 73. Saturday, a small chance of a shower, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got the Pastor Payne on here now. I'm seeing him right there buffing and whatnot. So it made me remember that if you haven't already, make sure you guys go check out R&R Cigars. They're doing a food drive right now. The goal is to feed 5,000 families. And the deal is, if you do go to R&R and donate, you are eligible for 50% off of one cigar, right? So they're paying you back for your contributions to their food drive. And even if you're not going to get a cigar, make sure you guys consider going and helping them out with that. 2703 Gary Fitz Street, right there at R&R, is where you can take place, where you can contribute and where that takes place, the whole food drive that they're doing right now. But don't forget, you always can use that code Miller's Edge as well on the website to get 20% off. They do have free shipping if you're eligible. And if you do want to just hang out and go watch a game somewhere, look no further than R&R Cigars as well. Wraparound porch, TVs throughout, over 160 bourbons, drink responsibly, plus that humidor with everything that you could imagine right there. Reagan and his people take great care of you. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Pastor Payne now joins us. Welcome in. How's everything?
It's all groovy. What it do? What it be? Everybody chase behind the glass. What's up, yo? How y'all feeling?
No, can't complain, man. Can't complain. We need a little juice on here. We're talking about LSU getting some juice. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Man. It's been a long week, man. Been a long week, but where have you been at, though, man? I mean, like, you showed up post-South Carolina briefly then. I mean, did that game just take it out of you? I mean, like...
No.
What happened, man?
And that's called being a pastor of a church now, full-time job. So my schedule can be anything, and meetings to ministering to speaking to, I'm all over the place. I mean, so that's what it is. It's just hard. I mean, it ain't hard. I love it. I love my job and love what God got me doing, but it's definitely, you know, doing a ministry like I had for years where I created my own schedule and just working with dudes and doing Bible studies and athletes, that those are easy. But you know, when your pastor's full time, in the morning, people call in, prayer, people sick, you know, you got all kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, that's where I've been. But I've been listening, I've been tuning in. I love that coach. I don't even know who he is, what's his name. I love the interview about the 907. That's talking about getting that attitude right. Maybe that's what LSU needs instead of Brian Kelly's softness. And so, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
What do you think about... Well, let me start here. Because I want to get your thoughts on all these coaching changes, these coaching firings. I'm sure you got plenty of opinions on that. But we'll stick with LSU for a second, I guess. Yeah. What do you think about this matchup? You just mentioned you like what you heard from that coach. I thought it was solid. He sounded like a good dude. Frank Wilson, he is a running back coach. Yeah. He's taking over. Alex Atkins is taking over as the play caller. I think the rest is the same. You got Baker coordinator defensively. Look at this LSU team. A lot of people have picked them preseason to be a title contender, definitely a contender in the SEC. You know, they had a quarterback returning through for over 4,000 yards. Plethora of talent, offensively and defensively. Always going to have some good receivers. Things were looking good, but then this year it just hasn't been that, right? And a quarterback's been banged up. Offensive line has been really bad. Can't get a running game going. Don't really get after the quarterback too well. Got a great secondary. There's some good players on defense, but they've been banged up too. Their starting linebacker, Whit Weeks, has been out for quite some time. Do you think they have a chance in this Alabama game with the new interim head coach, maybe some newfound life? How do you see this game kind of panning out when you look at it? Both teams coming out byes, by the way.
Yeah, and that's always the norm for this game. Both teams have byes. But, I mean, listen, LSU has been a disappointment. No doubt about it. I mean, everybody was very high on them with Mettenberger. The quarterback, they had some nice players on the outside. You know, the problem was the offensive line because they lost the majority of those starters to the National Football League. The defense was supposed to be the gem, right? You get a new defensive coordinator. You know, they come in the first game of the year. That was kind of the measuring stick right off the bat. You up in Death Valley, in my part of the country, up in upstate South Carolina. You beat Clemson, who everybody else had high hopes for, and saying that this team was going to be a national championship-type team. And then all the, you know, everything goes like, oh, LSU, LSU. But then the wheels fall off. And I don't know. I mean, you look at this defense looked great against Clemson, but hadn't looked nothing like that since. The offensive line's bad. The quarterback has no time. And they just became a train wreck. So when I look at this game, you know, I love what the coach said. I love that he's instilling the intensity, mindset, aggression. Oh, that's good. But at the end of the day, Alabama just so much better. They got so much more consistent, better football players. Ty Simpson playing great ball. Defensively, they doing pretty good. You know, starting to get some pressure on the quarterback, which was a concern for me to start the season. Alabama should win this game. I mean, this should not be a game, to be honest with you. But as I said against South Carolina, you know, LSU got 5 stars, a lot more than South Carolina. They got players that Alabama wanted in their locker room on that football team. So they have talent. They have speed. They have length. I heard him say all of that. They got what it takes to win games. They got a quarterback that can play. They got receivers that can run and catch. You talk about the secondary, which they're going to challenge Alabama there. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to put pressure on Ty Simpson because they trust their secondary. So Alabama's going to have to play a good football game. They can't go in there and lollygag and just think they can show up and win. And they end up losing this football game. And the SEC has shown this all year, Christian, that it really don't matter, man. You got to go play. If you don't play good, even that second-tier SEC team can beat you. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. And we'll see. You know, they had both teams out of bye. You know, with Kalen aboard, they got more healthy, I'm assuming. And maybe they put some wrinkles in. You get a chance to self-evaluate, you know, what you've done offensively, defensively, and or special teams. And so I think, you know, they should be better. They should be, you know, fit and ready to make a final run to get back down to Atlanta to play for an SEC championship, which I think they will. They win this game. Even if they lose to Oklahoma, I think Alabama still is going to end up in the SEC championship game, probably playing Georgia. So, listen, it's going to be very interesting, but this game shouldn't be. It's not the LSU-Alabama game that we became accustomed to. It's you know, coach gone, and when a coach leaves the program in during the season, it's just hard. You know, normally they'll play good one game, and then it just the wheels fall off the wagon. So, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, this team should be ready. They should be ready to go. They got everything in front of them. SEC championship, playoffs, and a chance to win a national championship. So, that being said, I don't see no reason that this team should come out flat and not ready to go. There should be absolutely no reason, because they got everything in front of them to achieve the goals that I'm sure that they put in front of them to start the season.
Yeah, and I agree. The only thing I think of is we kind of were in that spot last year going into that Oklahoma game. Everything was back in front of us, and we were controlling our own destiny. Then we laid an egg there. But I've been a totally different team. I think the mindset, mentality, all that stuff is completely different. But I agree with you, though.
Right.
I mean, coming out of a bye, Alabama should feel fresh. They should be rejuvenated, right? They've had a moment to hit that reset button, get guys back healthy, and look at it as this is what we used to do. You know, we used to break things up. So we would come out of a bye, we would look at it as a whole new season, because everything that we did up to this point means nothing. It means something to the committee and all that. We understand that. But technically, moving forward, everything, all that four-game winning streak against Rain, all that means nothing against LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, or Auburn. So we would say, all right, we got a four-game season to finish the regular season. One week at a time, focus on each opponent. After that, we'd have a one-week season for the championship, conference championship game. Then we'd have a little bit of a break. We'd reset again. We'd have a season where every game counts. It's win or go home. We're back with the 14 playoff stuff, and this is no different with what they've got now. So I agree with you. And when I look at this game, I feel the same way. That's why I was talking, like, you know, I think LSU is going to try to establish a running game. I think if they can be balanced, it can take some pressure off that offensive line and Garrett Nussmeier a little bit. Maybe they have a little bit more success offensively. Is that enough, though, to keep up with the likes of this offense while we're not scoring a whole hell of a lot of points? We're doing it in a different manner where, you know, we're taking our time. We're, you know, controlling the tempo of the game. We're not having to score that many points because of the way we're operating offensively and holding these consistent drives, just, you know. But yeah, man, I don't know. I think it still should be a good game. I mean, we're, you know, double digit favorites in this game. I mean, I get it. We're at home. LSU's beaten up. But we'll see what they can come up with coming out of a bye. Let's do this. Let's hit the timeout. When we come back, we'll keep talking about this, but I want to get some thoughts from the Pastor Payne on some of the action going around the college football world right now. You got the first playoff rankings that were unveiled Tuesday. You've got a lot of coaching madness going on, a lot of guys being fired, job opening. So I want to get his thoughts on that, and we'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's gonna run out, and Bama's gonna win it, 29-22. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more information,
Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Time 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, we got the Pastor Payne on here, and it's been a minute since we've had him on here. So getting his thoughts on a couple of things. You just talked a little bit about this Alabama-LSU matchup, which we still will. I still got some more keys I want to share. But I do want to get his thoughts on a number of other things. First, we're talking about the playoff rankings. These came out Tuesday. We've discussed it, but we haven't with you. Alabama officially comes in at number 4. And me and you just briefly were talking about this during the break. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, your top 5. With Alabama receiving that first round bye, being a number 4 seed. The way it was set up, however, and you can see it now with the graphic that I had shared on the stream. Memphis would be getting in at 12. Is that what was it called? Group of 5, whatever, bid?
Yeah, group of 5, yep.
Yep, and they would be matched up with Georgia. Winner of that game would go on to face Alabama in the quarterfinals. I personally was like,
That. If you're Alabama, you don't like that.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. I'd much rather be, you look at the other one, you got UVA and Ole Miss or Notre Dame and BYU or Oregon and Texas Tech. I mean, those are probably a little bit more ideal on your path. But yeah, I mean, any initial thoughts? I was asking our listeners yesterday, was there any surprises when you look at this list? I know Mike and a couple others felt that Notre Dame was a little too high coming in at 10. Remember, they lost week 1 and week 2. Texas A&M and the other one was Miami. So I know they're at 18 right now in the first rankings. They kind of fell off a little bit since they've now got 2 losses, but just curious, was there anybody on that list you were surprised about? They put UVA in there, I guess, as like the expected ACC champ.
I don't care. I mean, I don't even care about this stuff right now. I mean, I think it's a bunch of hyperbole. I think it's just stuff that it gives us as radio people, it gives the fans stuff to argue about. ESPN makes a lot of money on a stupid show. And, it doesn't mean a hill of beans, really, because so much going to happen this month. There are going to be more losses. There are going to be more upsets. And it's never going to be what they got up there. So my thing is, let the season play out, right? Let the championship games play out. And then then you have a big show and you unveil the top 16 teams. I mean, yeah. You know, because even if this graphic is going to change so much, and I used to sit there and the college football playoff reveal happening on ESPN at 7:00. And I'd be like watching on my phone, driving to in the house, you know, at the house, whatever. Like now I'm like, man, I'm not, this is a bunch of crud. And that's all it is. I think, you know, these teams, Alabama, they're up there. They got the, as I said earlier, they got the right path. To go and probably be higher. I mean, because people in front of them, I believe, going to lose before Ohio State, Indiana, I would think have to play each other in a championship game. One of them going to lose. I mean, so I don't know. I think when you look at Ole Miss, when you look at teams like Oregon, you look at Notre Dame, I'm not buying Notre Dame. I don't think they're a good football team.
What about BYU? Lost, but they haven't really played.
They played anybody, but they, you know, they're intriguing. But I don't like them playing the big boys when they have to play them. So I don't know. I don't really. Who cares? Alabama's a top 4 team. However you want, they can be 3, 4, 2. You know, Ohio State, they're 1, but really, who they beat Texas, but that was the first game of the year. I mean, I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. I really don't. I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. First game, you know, Arch Manning trying to find out his way. So I don't even know how good Ohio State is. I mean, besides that, they played Penn State last week, right? Or whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, and beat them soundly, and especially in the second half. But that game was close for two quarters.
Let me ask you this, though. You said you're not fully sold on Ohio State. Well, Joel Klatt, he made a comment not long ago, and he had mentioned that he feels the difference between Ohio State at number one and even Alabama at number four is significant. Like, he harped on the fact that he felt that Ohio State was clearly a better football team. Like, not like just by a little bit. He said there's a clear jump and a clear gap between number one Ohio State and even number four Alabama. So you clearly disagree with that.
Yeah. 100%. So I'm going to clat
my dog back. Is too, I guess.
Catch this one. I'm clatting back. I'm clatting back.
Nice.
Because
nice.
I think that's a dumb opinion, in my opinion.
I don't think there's a big gap, but I will say I think
big gap.
No, it's not a big gap. Let me ask you this though. But would you say that you do feel like Ohio State is a little bit better right now than Alabama? Personally, I don't disagree with that.
Listen,
part.
I think Ohio State's a good football team.
I'm asking you specifically with Alabama, Ohio State.
No, I don't.
You don't think Ohio State?
No.
I guess people are going to call me a hater because I wouldn't be opposed to saying that much right now.
I think Alabama can be just as good. I think if I compare quarterbacks, I like Ty Simpson better. And, you know, I am a sane person. I'm a dude. I'm his dude. I scream for him when he transferred. I mean, Julius Sand is a baller. But I think Ty Simpson is a better quarterback. I think Alabama matches up with Ohio State receivers just as much. They got first three catching dogs. They got dudes that can get open. Jeremy Bernard. They got Ryan Williams. They got ball of 17 when he's healthy. I mean, offensive line will be the difference maybe, but they're playing decent. Just that right tackle, left, we got to fix that. But defensively, they're finding a way. I don't think Alabama has. They don't have a Caleb Downs. They don't have a true dude. Like, Ohio State has some good inside backers.
Collectively,
Alabama has a good unit. They're good and not great, but they're good and they can beat you. They're good enough to beat you. So, I mean, if you look at it from that standpoint, maybe I can see why Joel Klatt is saying what he's saying. But, man, come on. I mean,
yeah.
They beat Penn State. A decimated right. team who got fired the coach. They beat Texas in the first game of the year. And right. it was not a pretty game. It's a Texas team who's not great either. But they had a chance. I'm just saying, yeah. So how can you sit here and say an Alabama team who looked like poo-poo in game number one against Florida State, and all they've done is rattled off wins against very worthy opponents, in my opinion. That's a much better than what Ohio State has played. So for me, that means something. So I would not say clearly. If I said they're better, maybe because of the defense, the linebacker, the Caleb Downs. That would be the only reason I would give Ohio State an edge over Alabama. The only reason. But I cannot sit here and say they are clearly better. That is stupid.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, and I was about to say before my own listeners call me a hater. That's what I was going to say. I don't think it's some clear gap. I think it's a very small margin. But the reason I probably would maybe give the nod to Ohio State, or I definitely would not give too much pushback if someone said that, would be what you just mentioned. Ohio State's defense, I know they hadn't played hardly anybody, really. And I know if you probably compare the offenses, like the numbers for the offense that we played and compare those to the likes of the ones that Ohio State played, definitely Alabama right. probably has played better offenses for sure. But number one, from a personnel standpoint, I mean, like you said, Caleb Downs, some of the players they have in the back end, but then those two backers that they have, one of them's, I mean, without a doubt, a first round. I can't remember, not zero, but the other one. I can't remember, but they're both like 6'4", 6'5", but they also can play off the edge. I mean, it's almost like having like two Jahad Campbells, man, at inside backer. They're special players. But their defense, I mean, they're allowing less than like 7 points a game on average. Now, again, I get that the offense that they're playing probably aren't nearly as capable, but still, to do that on a consistent basis, whether you're going against the 50th ranked offense or the 20th, I mean, that still is holding people less than 7 points. It's damn impressive.
Yeah, but I saw Penn State gashed him a little bit in the first half of the run game. I really did.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that they look. Listen, I'm not saying they're invincible, but I'm just saying for me, that's why I would. There's some vulnerabilities for sure, but I would give them probably the slight edge because we just agreed on that, right? Our defense hasn't been as consistent. However, I'm not saying if we get matched up with them, we're not beating them. No, 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 no. I'm just saying if we're talking about the argument on who is the better team right now, I probably would give them the nod just right now. But the good news is I think
Alabama has a better offense. Ohio State has a better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree 100%. No, I agree with that. My thing is, we're very battle tested, but I want to see our true test is when we play a team that is really good defensively, like we've seen out of the likes of whether Missouri, even South Carolina's defense, really, really good defensive team. But neither of those teams, we talked about this already, but just to reiterate, neither of those teams had an offense to complement that good defensive play. To me, right. Ohio State is that type of team, right? Oklahoma's closer to it. Oklahoma has a really good defense. Their offense still isn't great, but it's better than the likes of South Carolina and Missouri. That will be another good test for us. But I look at Ohio State, and I'm like, a team like that, or even Indiana, they're a very well-rounded team as well.
Right.
Those would be some interesting tests for me.
Well, Ohio State did beat Oregon, right? At Oregon.
They beat, here, I'll pull up their schedule right here. They beat Oregon and, I'm mixing up Penn State. Hold on. Ohio State has beaten... No, you're thinking of Penn State. They don't play Oregon. I was getting confused. They beat Texas 14-7 week one. Grambling, Ohio, Washington, Minnesota. Illinois was ranked at the time. They're not ranked anymore. Wisconsin, Penn State. They haven't played anybody. They got Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and Michigan left. So they really don't play anybody even to finish out the year. Michigan will be an interesting game. But
they're going to be undefeated before they go to the Big Ten championship game. And they're going to play.
Probably so, yes.
They're going to play Indiana.
Which that's going to be a damn good game. But like you said, and this is why I always say this, the rankings really don't matter right now because if you look at it, Texas is on the rankings is first team out, right? That's going to change because they have Texas A&M and Georgia remaining. So they're not winning those either. Or they might win one. They're not winning both those games. They'll be out of there. Once Oklahoma plays Alabama, assuming Alabama wins that game, they'll be a three-loss team. All these teams will start working themselves. It'll end up, I mean, BYU plays right. Texas Tech this weekend.
Now, Texas Tech is an interesting team.
They're that's fair. I mean, we'll see more this weekend. They play undefeated BYU team, but who would they lose to again? Arizona State. That's right.
Yeah.
But they played at the time. Oh no, Utah's still ranked. They did beat Utah, who's ranked. That's their one ranked win. I was curious though.
Let me say this real quick. I think this year shows the parity across the board in college football. I mean, I think there's so many teams. I don't think there's a clear-cut number one team. I don't care what Joel Klatt says. There's not a clear-cut number one team. I think you got 1 through 15 to 20 that any given Saturday could beat anybody, each other. So I just think what the NIL, with this money, you know, teams like Ohio State spending north of $20 million. You know, Texas spending all this big money.
Texas Tech, you know, look how much money they're dropping. Not just on football. They paid that softball pitcher $1 million.
Right. So there's so much money out there that I'm being honest with you. I have not been a fan of college football this season at all. I watch it, but I'm not like if I miss a game or if I mean, I'm going some with church. I'm not the same person when it comes out. I'm not in love with college football, which I used to think was the best sport that there was on TV. I'm not in love with college football anymore because the way it is right now. And I think I think the passion and the love for the game and then the intensity and the aggression and the excitement has left. And I think it comes through the TV. It comes through the tube. I really do. You know, everything is about marketing. It's about likes. It's about these kids and their money and who gets paid what. It drives me nuts, and I think it's taken away from the game. I really do, and I can honestly say I don't love it. I went to the South Carolina Alabama game. I went to South Carolina Oklahoma game, and I was on the sidelines. I enjoyed being down there because I was with my circle, my people, the players and coaches, but. From an overall standpoint, I've lost interest the way I used to have interest. I used to be a aficionado, if you will. I mean, of college football, but not anymore. Not anymore.
I mean, listen, I hear what you're saying. I still really enjoy it, but I definitely feel like it's lost a little bit of the luster. Just a little bit, maybe not as much as how you're describing. And again, it's different for everybody. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying for me, at least, it's not too bad. But I do feel some of those differences. I'm not gonna lie to you. Even to the fact that, in terms of, you mentioned like the parity, and this is no shot at the players this year, but I was looking at like the Heisman odds, and I'm like, man, if you're Ty Simpson, you got to be. I know he's not focused on this, but I mean, it's there for the taking. I mean, like if he was going to win the Heisman. This is going to be the year. I was looking at, like, the other odds. I mean, who else? I mean, you got him playing phenomenal, and you got Indiana's quarterback, Julian Sands up there. But you don't have a Travis Hunter. You don't have a Ashton Jensen. You don't really have anybody. I mean, you would think the Ohio State receiver would have took over and been that guy, or Ryan. They're having, you know, a little quieter years than maybe expected.
And, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, Ty Simpson, that's why, you know, Lenore Sellers should be kicking himself, but that's not his fault. It's the coach's fault. But this
year, offensive line play.
I mean, it's just bad. I mean, the overall, I mean, there's not a bunch of dudes when you turn the tube on that you know about that's jumping off screen that you're excited about watching, like a Travis Hunter, like a Shador Sanders. You know, they had juice, man. They brought people to games. I mean, I think college football lacks that right now. It really does. I mean, I haven't even really watched game day. I mean, and you know, Lee Corso's the most fun I have watching. He's gone. I mean, I don't know, man. I do like watching Coach Saban, but he's stoic. You know, he's very stoic.
he offers a little bit of a, you know, every now and then he'll. I was confused what he was talking about with Julian Sands. I'm like, Julian Sands was early enrolling, was there for like 2 weeks. He made it seem like a whole year. I'm like, I know he was just trying to get a joke off, but I was like, that was a. Look, I will say this, the chat, they all are disagreeing. They're saying, hey, we still love college football. And I'll let you say this because I already know what you're thinking. More so from like a fan perspective, it's not going to change too much for them, right? Because they're still like the experience is the experience. Meaning, like, you know what I'm saying? The tailgating of this and that. Yeah. Like, we never did that, nor do we do that like that. You get what I'm saying? So that part doesn't change. You get what I'm saying? I get what you're saying, though. We're really invested in, like, the actual product of what we're watching. And not saying that you guys aren't, but I'm saying, like, the way we watch is probably more from, like, that, like, competitive standpoint, trying to break things and analyze it. And I think that's why we kind of have a little more of that perspective. And that, yeah, it's not, I mean, like, we're better than you. I promise it's not what I'm trying to say. I think it's just kind of just the way we watch the games are probably a little bit different. In a respectful way.
Yeah.
Real quick,
I want to shout out the Brian Harden, Pop's family, and Braxton, and Pop's wife and his sister. And man, what a difficult time. And I know that they're going through. And just wanted to say I love him, man. I love Pops. I loved all his family. They were great to us, great to you. And just pray for his family. I talked to Braxton, prayed with them. And, you know, the thing that they have said to me that they were devastated, which I can understand that. But even as a pastor, sometimes you just don't have the words to say, especially when you're close to the people that's going through that pain. So I know prayer will work, and I know that God's comfort and strength will be with them. And we lift up Brian Harden, Pops, great, great friend, great, great man, and a great father, not just his own family, but so many Crimson Tide players that he became a father figure to, and just a great man. And I want to say thank God for his life and having the chance to meet him and be a friend to him. So shout out to the Harden family. We're with you in prayer, and I know the next couple of days for you is going to be hard, but I know God's going to get you through.
Absolutely, man. Couldn't have said it better. I hate to rush us out on that note, but we are running over, and I don't want to go into wise times. Appreciate everybody that's been tuned in today. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.